This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
In Chennai Central Station, there was a train to Bihar, so lots of people showed up for the train. And it's not just people randomly showing up. There were authorities who told people, you have a seat in the train, please go to Chennai Central Station. So people end up there. And when they get there, they are told that, no, the train is full, you can't get in. So there is some 300, 400 people outside Chennai Central Station. And now what authorities want to do is, their response is, let's just drive them home. And there's no home to go to because these people have given up their rented rooms and they've come to the station. And so they can't really go back anywhere. So normally what they do is the authorities put them in a shelter and take them in the next train. But because now there's a lockdown, they don't want to run trains. They don't want to be in charge of so many people for the course of 10 days. Their solution is use more police force. So the police literally beat people up, you know. And, you know, the one guy I talked to, he was trying to record it and his phone was snatched away. And, you know, literally the police was holding on to his collar and telling him to go home and relented only when their whole group got into an auto and set off. And they literally had to go back home.
We sure would have heard similar incidences like this. As the pandemic began in India, there were a huge number of migrant laborers who were coming to the public places because they wanted to go back to their homes. Hi, this is Vaishali, reporter for Suno India. And with this episode, we bring back to you our explainer series, Every Indian's Checklist. In this episode, I set out to find out more on how data around migrant workers was collected at the height of the crisis and to understand more about the gaps and the challenges in this data collection. For this, I reached out to Sushmita, who's from Chennai COVID Fund for Migrant Labour Collective, and she's been actively helping out migrant workers during the pandemic in Chennai. To deal with this situation, the central and the state governments decided to collect information on who all wanted to go back to their home states. In the initial days, state governments wanted this data to provide free ration and makeshift shelters to their migrant workers, and then later on to curb the reverse migrations of the workers. Often this meant that the numbers being presented by the civil society were higher than what was being shown by the governments, or in some cases, it felt like the government was inflating the figures. This lack of accurate data on migrant workers and their families meant that many thousands must have fallen through the cracks. When migrant laborers go back to their home states, they don't get paid properly. A 2018 World Bank paper found that the migrants' wages were 35% of Bihar's gross state domestic product. So affecting the earning affects their demand. According to the 2011-12 Consumption Expenditure Survey, the rural areas have a higher share of total consumption expenditure in India that is twice as much as in urban areas due to the population share.
It's typically just name, mobile number, Aadhaar card, where they are staying currently, and which state they want to go to, and maybe the district in that home state. It's nothing beyond that is required. And yeah, in some places, this also keeps changing. At some point, they also had this employer name, and I don't know how it was used in various places, but typically this information is this minimal information. Some police stations registered, some didn't register. Another thing we gradually found out was that it is quite crucial for the employer to go and tell them, please register my workers. If the workers go on their own, they just had an impossible task. In fact, there was one group of workers in Coimbatore I was talking to, and they said that they have gone there so many times, the police sends them to the VAO, which is the village administration officer. The VAO sends to the collectorate. The collectorate just drives them off. So they've been doing the circle a few times, and then they realize they are simply not managing to get registered because their employer doesn't want them to get registered.
Even as the news cycle tapers off about migrant workers heading back home, many thousands are still trying to get back to their villages. Take for instance in Chennai and Hyderabad alone, many migrant workers from Assam and Bihar are still trying to head back home. So how do migrant workers get to know what's happening and whom they should approach during these distressing times? While many helplines were set up by the state governments, often the workers have been able to get through the helplines and many others simply didn't know that the helpline existed. So they rely on their immediate local sources for the information and relief. Like Sushmita mentioned, the worker's name, Aadhaar card and contact number which they give to the police station will be received by the Tahsildar. He or she then is supposed to inform the police and the people registered in the police station will be taken by the police to their railway stations.
For example, Jharkhand has a system where the person in Tamil Nadu had to register in the Tamil Nadu website and in the Jharkhand website, which they were all doing fine. Then one fine day, they realized that a lot of Jharkhandis had walked back home. So when they were going in search of the people who had filled out the form, they were realizing all those people were not there. And suddenly they put out a call saying that all those of you who filled out the form, that form is no longer valid because the data is invalid because of people leaving. So can you fill the form again? And how is this information disseminated to these large group of Jharkhandis dispersed all over Tamil Nadu and possibly other states?
The migrant workers we're speaking about here are those who moved to other states for lower level blue collar jobs, like those who are working at construction sites, brick kilns, government canteens, garment factories, packaging and delivery, and many others. Many migrate out of their home states in search of better paying jobs and opportunities. As they are not equipped with English or even their guest state's language, the crisis created a new kind of chaos for these workers. Many workers relied on information being provided by the media regarding the movement of trains and buses, which, if you remember, were stopped. When the governments were faced with the challenge of reaching these migrant workers, here's what Father Francis Bosco of Don Bosco Migrant Services in Chennai told us about how challenging a task it was to coordinate with the public authorities.
Department of Industry Safety Health is supposed to take care of that. Whenever there is disaster or any sickness or anything, they have to take care of the employees. With the help of them and with the help of the Labor Department, we were trying to get for pit chambers, their commodity, and also for factories and companies. But it has not reached, government things has not reached many of them because we tell them, we complain them, we used to tell them, but they say we are given. Otherwise, they say employees are given. Otherwise, they contractors given. But the poor people will say, no, Father, we have not reached. So we were taking census, we were taking survey, get to know all the details. You know what the helplines will say? All JDs, joint directors, I'm really happy that those who know the stuff only were there in the helpline, the first helplines, the relief helpline. They say, Father, give the data. And at the end, you give? We gave to the company, they say. Then one at the final end, one director told me, Father, you get all, come to Kanjivaram, get the stock, go and distribute. But the next minute, they said, no, only government has to serve. All the helplines are Dish and the Labor Department were the main, all senior people. They were nicely talking and other things, but they don't have data. So many people ask me, those who don't know, don't have Aadhaar, those who don't have basic entitlements, those who don't know the English way how to approach people. This registration has kept these people out of the site. This helplines are all only in Chennai. No district, I don't think even Kanjipuram has a helpline. I know how much I tried my best. No helpline. You have to contact the top people only. Either I called the morning collector. I sent a WhatsApp that such a number of people are waiting here. You call Tahsildar, no response. Some very good. Some ladies, it's lockdown. Afraid to come out. Even men are not coming out. Sometimes very lethargically they speak. No.
The National Human Rights Commission had asked the center and the states to come up with measures to protect migrant workers' health, employment, and dignity during and after the COVID-19 pandemic in this June. To plan for quarantine and relief, the commission said that the state should have a record of who all are leaving and who all are arriving. So a statewide and a nationwide database was asked to be prepared. And each state should identify the industry where the migrant laborer is working, that is construction, agriculture, brick kiln, etc. So in the beginning of June, the Labor Ministry's first batch of data for 26.17 lakh migrant laborers were published on the Chief Labor Commissioner's website. Times of India had then reported that instead of having the names, age, contact, work, current and native addresses, bank and other details, only a state-wise breakup of the migrants who are living in relief camps or shelter homes were published. The data showed that migrants had registered more in Chhattisgarh, Maharashtra and Kerala. Usually, Uttar Pradesh and Bihar are the biggest hubs of migrant laborers.
Now, today there's a train. Why you inform? In the beginning, it is okay. There will be a rush, big rush. But today, a Manipur train is going from Kanchipuram. We have to find out somehow where the train is and tell the laborers. Imagine the revenue officials, they don't know the language. How they will go and talk to the people? If at all you create a shelter, there you will put an Hindi man. You only tell the shelter that there is a train is going. What happened to the other sites, construction sites, brick chamber sites, and the casual laborers are staying in the rent house? Who will tell them? No train, no timetable of the train is visible. Everybody see only what happened, walking only they see. But the other side is, they have been thrown out, either by money or rent or food. Those sufferings has not come into the main line. The department which doesn't work is the labor department. I have been in the child welfare committee. I know how to, when I catch child labor, they will say, you know, mother, you have to catch during the work. Child, whether during the work, not at all work, what is a child is there? See the loopholes in the act, you know.
When they run a train from a place, they will inform all the, like for example, there is a train running from Madurai to Assam. So the entire Madurai district, they will tell that if there are any Assamese people registered in your list, please call them and we have a seat for them. And then not only if that those people are not enough, they will also tell neighboring districts, you call everybody to the district center. And from the district center, we will transport them to Madurai, we'll arrange a bus. So that's how it is supposed to work. You know, you arrange, you register yourself at the smallest administrative level, which is the taluk office. And from there, it's the district and possibly multiple districts will get together and run a train. So the local officials will get you to the district center and transport you in the bus to railway station and they will bring you home. So this process has sometimes operated successfully. But as you can see, this is a very complicated process. You know, once this train from Madurai has left, suddenly there are some other workers in Madurai and neighboring districts who decide they want to go home because they are not getting work. And now do you think the district administration will undertake collecting the data again and figuring out where to put them? They simply can't.
Even if the government or any NGO provides these migrant laborers shelter and food for a month or two now, how would they leave the place where they paid the rent for and would also have to come back again to stay in? And how will they be assured of a job after all this? At this point, uncertainty seems to be the answer to these questions. Labor is a subject on the concurrent list and is governed by 100 states and about 40 central laws. Interstate migration is a central subject. The Commission sought directions from the Supreme Court for consideration of implementation of its proposed short-term and long-term measures. They said that a special provision should be inserted in the Interstate Migrant Workmen Act of 1979 to deal with emergency situations like COVID, natural disasters and more. One can ask, what about the existing act that asks the state governments to have a record of migrant laborers on a normal day? The commission also proposed compensation to family members of those who died while migrating to their respective states, funds allocation to states from the center, universal ration card, and extension of maximum benefits as provided for under the Unorganized Workers Social Security Act of 2008. The National Human Rights Commission also said that the government should implement the scheme that it had announced to launch for affordable rental housing complexes, specifically for migrant workers and urban poor, as soon as possible. As of now, this is what Sushmita tells us, how it is to appeal for the migrant workers' basic issues.
You know, in our team, people try to file these, complaint to the labor commissioner, and none of those cases made any progress, really. So, you know, we made progress through other means, maybe like one or two cases, you know, they are ongoing, you know, some unions have taken them up and they are ongoing. But it's not that we got some extra support from the labor commissioner in this matter in recovery of wages. That simply didn't happen. And the problem really magnified because of the pandemic, because employers knew their workers are just going to go home. And once they go home, there's no way for them to demand their lost wages. You know, NREGA would have been a good solution to keep workers employed in villages. But the workers I have talked to, they've said they're simply not finding work.
Even for lockdown, during the lockdown salary, another great relief is lockdown salary. What happened to the lockdown salary? Even to this, that 8 days of the March or the March month of March salary, it's very, very difficult. If you go through the survey, I was just doing a list of people to give to the dish department, how many people are there, father give me. I was asking the laborer, where is your ID? You are working in the company, where is your ID? No ID. He doesn't know what is a company. He only knows the agent. Some fellows, they doesn't know the agent at all because their own relative is working and I'm also working. Imagine the PF, imagine the ESA, imagine what all the other things are supposed to be the rights. The funniest thing is, I asked, sir, you have not given to this particular company. No, he's saying, father, we have not registered this company in our in the government itself. No, they have to register, no, the dish itself. Imagine such a situation. They don't have data. People have right to move, right? They can go study, they can go work, white collar, blue collar, and all, okay. But this is dirty collar.
In the beginning of June, the Chief Labour Commissioner's office had counted over 26 lakh migrant workers who were stranded across the country, of which 10% were in relief camps or shelter homes, while 43% are in situ at workplaces and 46% were in other clusters. However, when RDA activist Venkatesh Nayak asked for district-wise information on relief camps and other places, and details of employers, the Chief Labour Commissioner's office replied that the information was not available. Only after that, an urgent hearing was held internally and the information was put on their website. Around the same time in June, the Supreme Court gave 15 days time for the centre to send all the migrants back home. The Indian Railways said that it allows 4,270 trains, over 1,600 trains reached Uttar Pradesh. Justice Bhushan asked how many workers were stranded and what was the government estimates. Then the Solicitor General Tushar Mehta replied that the centre was continuously in touch with the states and they can only give exact figures. He refuted charges of negligence by railway authorities, claiming no deaths happened in Shramik trains due to hunger or lack of treatment. He said that deaths happened due to pre-existing ailments and heart attacks. This was when people were dying out of hunger and starvation in the trains back home. The pandemic has only made the underlying issues obvious and unavoidable when the migrant workers could no longer hold their stay nor work and had to come out of their homes. This migrant labourer issue should lead to legal and structural reforms. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Suno India Show. To know as and when an episode is released, do subscribe to our newsletter on sunoindia.in. And you can also follow us on any podcast app of your choice.